What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Been a fun Tuesday and a therapeutic Tuesday as well here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. I'm, of course, Reginald Adetula. I say, of course, that was really bold of me. My bad. Can I have that one back? Are y'all going to let me have that one back? Because that was really egotistical even.
It's too late to dump, man. You're just going to have to own it.
Of course it's me, Reginald Adetula. Who else would it be?
They got your name with the big voice guy. We got your picture on the break slate.
You peasant. Of course, this is Reginald Adetula.
That sounded nasty. I didn't like that.
No, man. Sometimes you just got to let the people know, man.
That was one of the ones that as soon as it left my lips, I was grabbing at it. Just come back here.
Who else you thought it was? Over here on In the Loop, but it's the dude that hosts the show.
That is B. Scott sitting in for the OG John Lopez. Colin Neal, you also heard, filling in for one Figgy Fig. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Tuesday.
We can't say of course, by the way, Colin. I don't think it's an of course.
Of course it's B. Scott and Colin.
It's not an of course with us too, but with Reggie it is.
Man, we've been having a fun time here on this Tuesday from the 713. Do you think the Texans should sign Diggs if he passes through waivers? No.
Oh, I didn't even think. You talking about Trayvon Diggs. I don't know, for whatever reason. I was like, what, New England's going to get rid of Stephon already?
All right, so
I didn't even consider that.
So to make it clear to anybody who maybe has not heard the two different news stories that come together here, Stephon Diggs is being alleged, he's under, well, what's the right way of saying this?
He's being charged with a felony.
Being charged with a felony for alleged strangulation, I believe,
yes.
Or suffocation. In Massachusetts. That is the allegation that's there per Boston 25 up there in Massachusetts. So that's what's happening on one side of the Diggs family. The other side of the Diggs family is Trayvon Diggs, the cornerback for the Cowboys, has actually been straight up released. He's been going back and forth with the organization on various different things. And at its essence, how much they want him, what they want to do with him, if they want to give him a contract. They outright released him, which, God, that organization's stupid, man. Like, I'm sorry. I feel like you get some for Trayvon Diggs, man.
Yeah, I would have just tried to figure it out, honestly. I mean, they need more help than they need to be. Like, this is already a problem with them, right? They trading Michael Parsons. They need to keep all the good players that they got and then add more. Not be getting rid of the good players and starting over, but I digress.
All right, so I did all of that set up to ask a question that is neither which is not the point of the segment that we ultimately wanted to do. If you had to have one, which one?
Of the Diggs brothers?
That's right, in the current predicaments that they exist in.
Oh, come on, man.
Is it Trayvon Diggs, who is a really good cover guy from all intents and purposes, but also is not a physical guy and clearly is having some level of organizational disagreement? Or is it Stephon Diggs, who you've had in this building, he's worked very well, except right now there's a felony charge out there on him, even though at this point, allegations we have not seen to what end they go to, but that's out there on them.
Yeah, innocent until proven guilty. I don't even think he's been indicted yet. So, I hate to be crass about it because if these allegations are true, you know, I want nothing to do with it. But at the same time, still just like the way the legal system works, is they're just allegations. You know, you can make an allegation against anybody about anything. So I think that Stephon Diggs would fill a role for the Texans if it was possible, like we're just doing this hypothetical. He would fill a role for the Texans that they simply do not need from Trayvon Diggs. I'm good with their, like, if he's depth, I get it, but I'm good with their corner situation. I think Stephon could actually help them with both their red zone infrequencies and their red zone inefficiencies. Mm-hmm. I hope I did that correct.
You did it very well.
So, in fact. So I would say the older brother.
I allowed myself to do that because I knew you were going to end up, I don't know how I knew, but I knew you were going to end up here talking about this offense. And I feel like we need to do some evaluation of the coaches here on both sides. We talked about the head coach at noon, if you want to go back and use the Odyssey app or what have you to go back and revisit it. But I want to talk about the coordinators. How are you feeling about them at this juncture? And the offense is the one that has caught a lot of attention. So I will start opposite that so that I know that we get back around to it. Does that sound like something we should do? Because I know that we want to get to the Nick Haley of this all. Or should I just start there? Am I doing too much here?
Nah, well, I think we could just be real quick with Matt Burke and say he's done a hell of a job. He's coordinating the best defense in the league. I think that his there's got to be something to his defensive line coach background and the fact that they're able to get so much out of the not just the stars on the edges, but some of the nondescript, not to be disrespectful, but some of the lesser names on the interior. It seems like it doesn't matter who lines up at defensive tackle. They ready to ball for the most part. And so,
I was about to call a name, and I was like, that's not fair to them, man.
Yeah. Oh, you was going to call somebody a name?
Yes. No, I was going to call somebody's name out as, well, he didn't do that. And I was like, that's not fair. You don't have to do that to Marlon Davidson. Wait, my
damn.
Bad.
Damn.
Can I have that one back, too?
No.
Okay, my bad.
But about Matt Burke, shout out to Matt Burke, and shout out to the defensive line coach, Rod Wright. I think they've done a tremendous job. So I don't think it's a coincidence that defensive play calling gets handed to Matt Burke, and then they skyrocket to being the best defensive in the league. I think he definitely has to have some kind of credit in that. That's what I say about
Matt Burke. And D'Amico has made it clear, and I believe him when he says that he ain't taking his hands off of what's happening there. Game planning and all that, still, he is a part of that process. And I think that that's comforting, if for no other reason than, hey, man, Matt Burke is getting all the love. Like, this is the double-edged sword. One of the things I tried to do was make sure that I mentioned Matt Burke when we talk about this, because we were very ready to say D'Amico Ryan's defense. And Matt Burke is the defense coordinator, and he factors in the way things happen. Now he's getting that love, and I'm like, oh, that's cool, but also don't look over here. Do not perceive him. And it's happening. People are perceiving him to the point where now he's people like the idea of possibly hiring him away as a head coach, which he has the temerity for. He has the disposition for.
Yeah.
I really like it, and I would love it for him. I would kind of miss it, but again, consolation is D'Amico Ryan's ain't moved away from having impact there, and I feel like he could slide very well and quickly back into that place to where everything continues to operate.
Just as a side note, since you mentioned this temerity and disposition, easily the most fun, or I guess he's right there with Frank Ross in terms of the most fun coaches to talk to. And both of them among the most fun guys that are a part of the team to just have a conversation with. I know that's a kind of a side note to the actual evaluation of his job, but I did want to mention that.
Yeah, I feel like this is, if we're putting grades on it, this is A+. Like, I don't know where to start in criticizing.
I like him.
Like, I just don't have.
I like the guy.
If I put a negative battery in your back, could you find one? Could you find the negative thing to say about Matt Burke and the way this defense is going?
Not offhand. No, I can't. No.
That's crazy.
I like him. I think he's good.
The offensive coordinator, Nick Haley. How are you feeling about him? He is the most divisive to try and talk about in this moment because he's the first year offensive coordinator. There's clearly, as we were talking about earlier, it feels very evident that there's been a governor placed on what this team can do, or at least some boundaries, a fence placed around what is expected of this team. It's evident. Possess the football, run the football. These are mandates. In fact, I don't even think that's a bad thing from Nick Haley, who we know got his job as the passing game coordinator there with the Rams in order to help establish the run and get them modernized in the way that they ran the football there under Sean McVay.
Yeah.
So I think that those things exist, but early on we saw the struggles, and the struggles have not completely dissipated. They found different ways to make things happen despite the struggles, in the midst of the struggles. Sean Pendergast did a great job talking about the lulls that continue to happen with this team for quarters at a time offensively, but they've still managed to make things go. What is your evaluation on Nick Haley at this point?
I think that he has improved, but we were starting from a very, very, very low place. And so this to me is probably why the criticism seems so loud, or is so loud, is because...
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the improvement, because they're still not really a good offense, and it's been so long, it feels like now since they had a good offense, that marginal improvement just does not feel good enough. It doesn't matter that we're starting from zero if we only got to 50 and we're trying to get to 100, right? Like, that just doesn't really do a whole lot for you. So, I think, why I've been a little bit soft on him, or a little bit of a Nick Caley defender, because at some point I just came to accept that I don't really like the offense itself, no matter who's calling it.
Yeah.
Bring Josh McDaniels in here, who's probably the better, you know, the more accomplished play caller within this offense. And I still don't feel like I would like it all that much.
Think I would. But Josh McDaniels also,
I would like it better. But I liked, personally, the offense that they had before.
Just
than the offense
not
that they
the
got.
Way they decided to operate it in that instance.
Exactly. So that, I mean, I think that that's part of it. But then, I think it's also worth noting that he is not Josh McDaniels. He's in his first year doing it. And there were growing pains. I don't think there was a whole lot of patience for growing pains. It would have been one thing if he was the first-year offensive coordinator, right? But now he's replacing the offensive coordinator that you brought in to begin with, and there's just not a lot of patience for him to figure it out and room to grow. I feel like he has grown in some places. Not just him, though. I think what's helped is that some of the rookies and some of the guys that weren't as involved in the offense before are much more reliable targets. This is something we talked about over the last couple of days between the rookies getting involved. You know, Dalton Schultz has had a really good year. But to a man, from Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel, and Woody Marks, we should probably put ahead of both of them, those guys being factors in ways that they weren't early in the season, I think has made life a lot easier on Nick Caley. But I still don't like the offense, and I still don't like how they approach, which I think this is just as much of a D'Amico thing as it is a Caley thing. But I don't always like how they approach the end of halves. And look, the offensive coordinator definitely has to take issue, or blame, I should say, for the red zone inefficiencies.
Yes.
Like, you cannot get around it. I think everybody shares some blame, but if you're in a leadership position, then you're the offensive coordinator, the buck stops with you. So they're not good in the red zone. They're not really good overall. We did this earlier. What's the thing that they do well offensively? Possess the ball, not turn it over.
And part of the what's the thing that they do well is the implied finish of that question is consistently.
Yeah.
There's an inconsistency that happens with this offense that I think also it's not just in the execution, because the execution is there, right? And that is still under the purview of the coordinators that are, you know, charged with this. So I will put that there. But I think even if you go outside of that, there's some inconsistency with the coordinator. I think that's the thing that's maddening is too strong, but that's the thing that is somewhat upsetting for me personally with the Nick Caley development, because I'm with you. There's a clear development of what's happening. It's just you started at such a low place, it feels like. You'll see really, really nicely designed plays within this. The question is, like, what are the are you building upon those at times? And sometimes I there's not as much there. But two words that I wrote down to try and kind of wrap my head around how I feel about Nick Caley's purpose and intention. Is that sometimes, and intention was one of those big words, and intent, in the offseason, like, hey.
What are you trying to do?
We want our players to understand what we're trying to do in these instances and execute it. And I think there's some ways where that's gotten better over time, and I think that's why you've seen some of the rookies and some other people be able to impact the game more. But sometimes in the play calling, I wonder, hey, what's the purpose? What's the intention? And that's a little disconcerting. At times, and sometimes I don't even know if they know it at times, or if they are holding steady to what the purpose or intention is supposed to be. And those are things that are a little disconcerting, especially as you move into the arena where we're sorting out the chaff. Like, there's not bad teams in the playoffs. These are the best teams, ostensibly the best coaches that are going to come with the best game plans. And you've got, like, we're no longer playing, you know, kiddie ball. Like, you're against the best here. And I'm very intrigued, especially of the three parties that we're talking about here. Nick Caley is very much the one that is bringing up the rear here, like how he stacks up, not just in the way that the offense executes, but how he brings a purpose and intention to what they're doing, how he's able to not just call a play, but call a system of plays that, one, sets a defense up. And you saw that in the game plan against the Chargers early on. It's why you were able to get these deep shots. You knew that this team was, one, not going to attack you attack you with pressure, so you were going to have time to take shots, and you knew that the defense in the secondary was going to sit a little bit. They weren't going to, you know, really trust and believe in your ability to hit them deep, and you did, and that's cool. Can you do that consistently? Can you find ways outside of the opening script and outside of places where you catch a defense sleeping and create those and generate those when they see it? One of the things we were talking about in running the football, the Marshawn Lynch of it all.
Yep.
You know I'm going to do it, and yep. I know I'm going to do it. Yeah, they're doing the things when you don't know. Can you do the things when you know I'm going to do that? And they do that somewhat sufficiently running to salt the game away. I don't know that they do it in the larger scope of the offense, and those are things that I'm still looking at the offense coordinator about.
So I said this about the offense weeks ago, and they have since like won a bunch of games and have improved.
Yeah.
So it doesn't actually sound the same, but you just hit on it. My issue with the offense was that the only thing they really had going for them was the element of surprise. First down, second down. When they get the benefit of down and distance and a little bit of element of surprise, the defense doesn't necessarily have a great beat on exactly what they're going to do. They would make plays. Even, you know, this went into the Davis Mills short era when Davis Mills started playing and they kind of begin this winning streak. They benefit from the element of surprise when it was like, hey, this is clearly a run play. This is clearly a pass play. How they handle pressure on obvious passing downs is still an issue, and I think there's a hierarchy of blame there that I think starts with Nick Caley, and he and C.J. Stroud probably share a good bit of that. Then obviously sometimes the blocking is not exactly what you want it to be, but the buck does have to stop with the offensive coordinator for that. To be this far into the season and still have pressure issues like this is not great.
Better, but leaves a little something to be desired, and it's funny because I think we found more confident or not necessarily sufficient, I guess, confidence in the offense coordinator. And I think the framing helped. When you get down and you're 3-5, and then you're just in a place where we're just trying to get to 5-5. We're just trying to get ourselves back in. The offense felt better, right? In that,
yeah,
relative to what the expectations had become at that portion of the season. Okay, we're doing a little something.
Yeah.
I think now that the expectations are back to where they had been at the beginning of the season, I look around and I go, ooh.
Yeah.
Nick Caley, show me something, big dog.
Would you still say, would you agree that they are ascending? Is this an ascending offense or is it stagnant?
I
don't know.
I think that the offense, just off the strength of them being able to hit those big shots, because they had not done that for quite a while. I think, in this offense, they had not done that, at least in the way that it felt like they did that on Sunday. I found that to be a new wrinkle. I think that they are starting to slow in their development, though. And it's to be expected because you're 17 weeks into this. How much more can you wring out of any? Like, how many offenses in the league would you look at and go, week 7, oh, we're finding more and more things? That's kind of an unreasonable expectation in the NFL, is it not?
That's fair. Side note, how many offenses in the AFC would you consider prolific at this point? Like, I think the Patriots have a pretty good offense. But outside of that, I think most of the truly great and elite offenses are on the NFC side. Like Indy's up there, but at the beginning of the year is doing a lot of the work there.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I'm not considering Indy.
So you're not considering Indy. I don't think the Bo Nix-led Denver Broncos are
prolific offense. One in a possible.
Who you got?
The Jags is the possible. I feel good about them in recent.
That's
late.
A good offense.
So
that's a good offense.
Two.
There you go. The Jags and the Patriots. But for the most part, ain't nobody in AFC really balling like that. So, offensively. So, yeah.
All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Coming up next, let's do the mixtape. No Figgy, I'll handle it. And what do you think is the wildest thing that somebody, that a 911 operator has had when somebody called their line? Let's dig into that next.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sack Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.